Hey, you're tuned in to the Verve Podcast, live from the heart of Las Vegas, Nevada. Thanks for listening, and viva la Verve!
Have you seen the website youhadonejob.com? It features pictures of people who had one job, but still managed to fail miserably. Here's a few examples for you. And so here's one. Well, hi, guys. Prices cost for kids their education. Here's the question. Like, if we don't get kids education, how are they going to be able to spell correctly, right? Like, that's the problem with how you... And here's another, which this, is, I think, is a way of just being politically correct for people who are colorblind. Let's help them out. They can't make a mistake. Now, here's the deal. If you have one job, and your one job is to get people to quit smoking, that's a difficult job, right? And I think there's no more effective way to do it than this. A stop smoking center featuring lots of cigarettes. Yes, that should work. And last, it's not bacon, but it's juicy. I can't deny the juicy part of it, right? It's crazy because it's like you only had one job, just one job, and you couldn't do it. Just one thing you had to make sure you got right, and you couldn't get it right. Well, guess what? God has given you and me one job. That may not be completely accurate. I mean, he's asked us to do more than one thing, but there is one thing that he has made our priority, the top priority, job number one, the one thing that we have to make sure we get right. And just to be ridiculously clear about it, he tells it to us over and over and over and over. God, Jesus, came from heaven to earth to live a human life. And he explained why he came. He said, I have been sent to seek and save the lost. What does that mean, lost? The idea, it'd almost be like if you had a kid who got separated from their parents at a mall. It's like, well, that's not okay. You need to get that kid reconnected with their parents, right? You would seek that kid. You would get that kid back to his parents. And the idea is that we are all God's kids. God loves all of us so much, but some people have never gotten connected to God. Or some people have gotten separated, kind of drifted away from God. And so Jesus said, I have come to help those lost kids get reconnected with God. He came, he was sent to seek and save the lost. Now check this, John chapter 20, verse 21, Jesus said, as the Father has sent me, I am sending you. So he was sent to seek and save the lost. Now we are sent to seek and save the lost. So make sure God's kids are reconnected with him. And he tells us over and over. For instance, in Mark 16, 15, he says, go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. The gospel, the word means good news, the good news about God's love for us and his desire to have a relationship with us. Matthew 28, 19, Jesus said, therefore to us, go and make disciples of all nations. A disciple is someone who's connected to someone who they've decided to follow and learn from. He's saying, make sure everyone gets connected to God. Acts 1, 8, he says, you will be my witnesses. A witness is somebody who's experienced something and then tells you about it, right? And so the idea is, man, when I've experienced God's love, I need to share it with others. God tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 20, he says, we are Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. And so he's given this one job to us repeatedly so that there will be no ambiguity, right? And it makes sense, I think. It's like God loves everyone. He's for everyone. Everyone needs God. And so it makes sense that God gave us this one job of making sure everyone knows about his love and knows about Jesus. But it's not just for him. And it's not just for them. This may be something you've never thought about, even if you know about this one job we have. It's also for us. So this series, Rehab for the Rest of Us, we're talking about the path towards healing and wholeness that God gives us in the Bible. The kind of things that we would learn if we were to go to rehab. And one of the things that you would hear in rehab, one of the recovery principles you'd learn, is that there is no healing without helping. There's no healing without helping. The idea is that a very important part of our healing process and our growth happens when we help someone else especially when we share our story. We see this reality in a story from the life of Bill W. Bill W. is the guy who founded AA, and so he created the 12 steps with a group of people from his church in New York called the Oxford Group. They found these principles in the Bible, and they kind of put them in an order, called them the 12 steps, and Bill W. had worked these 12 steps, so he had been sober for quite a long time. And then he found himself the night before Mother's Day in a hotel lobby in Akron, Ohio. Mother's Day brought up a lot of bad stuff in Bill because his mother had deserted him when he was just a kid. And so he's just feeling bad, and he realizes that there's a bar in the lobby of this hotel. And he has this thought, I need another drink. And then the thought, oh God, I'm gonna get drunk. He went into a complete panic. He wanted to drink, but he knew that drinking meant death for him. And suddenly another thought came to his mind. I need another alcoholic. I don't need another drink. I need another drunk. I have to tell my story to another drunk. I have to find someone who needs the help that I've needed. And so Bill called a local church, and the church connected with him with someone that they said was a hopeless drunk, a guy who later became known as Dr. Bob. And so Bill meets with this Dr. Bob, and they sit for hours, and Bill tells him his story and how he found God, how he found healing. And at the end of the whole conversation, Dr. Bob accepts Jesus, puts his faith in Jesus. And together, Bill W. and Dr. Bob are the two guys who founded AA, Alcoholics Anonymous. What's really interesting to me about that story is that Bill W. did not go to save Dr. Bob. He went to Dr. Bob to save himself. You know, sometimes as Christians, we share our story because we are so grateful for our newfound freedom. We're so excited about finding God and his path to restoration. It's like, I just have to tell other people. And that's good. That's awesome. But in this particular moment, Bill W. was not grateful. He was not excited. He was afraid, and he was desperate. Desperate. And he just knew instinctively that there is no healing without helping. So it makes sense, right? We have to do this one job. For God, who wants to be reconnected with his lost children, for other people who need to be reconnected with God, and also, maybe you've never thought of this, for ourselves, because it turns out it is a very important part of our healing and our restoration. Makes sense that this would be the one job God would give us, but even still, most Christians will never do it. There's actually all kinds of studies and surveys. What they've discovered is about 95% of Christians will never share their faith. They'll never share their spiritual story with someone else. God gave us this one assignment, and we are saying no to God's assignment. If we're not sharing God's love, if we're not sharing our faith in Jesus, we are saying no to God. And we're saying no to all these people who need the chance to get to know God and hear about his love. And we are missing out on a really critical part of our healing and our restoration. So I know that it can be a little bit intimidating for some people. It's like, yeah, I want to do that, but I don't know how. I wouldn't know where. I wouldn't know what to say. I don't know how to do it. And so I want to teach you a prayer that I think will help you to do this. It's a prayer I love. I taught it to you several years ago. Most of you probably weren't even here back then, and those of you who were probably have forgotten it a long time ago, so I'm gonna remind you, okay? And so this is a prayer that will help you to say yes to God's one job for you. It will help you because God will honor you praying this prayer, and it will help you because it will teach you how to do God's assignment, his one job for you, effectively, okay? So here's the prayer we're gonna put up on the screen. God, how do you want to love me today? And who do you want to love through me today? So I'm encouraging you. The idea is that you get up and every single day you start your day with this prayer. God, how do you want to love me today? And who do you want to love through me today? Hey, we don't usually do this, but how about just to start getting it into our heads? I want you to leave having this memorized. Why don't we say it out loud together? You don't have to, but I'm going to encourage you. So ready? You guys ready to do this? This is new for us. We can do this, I think. Ready? Here we go. God, how do you want to love me today, and who do you want to love through me today? Nice job. Nice job. You guys can read. That's awesome. So the first part of the prayer is, God, how do you want to love me today? And here's why. You can't give away something that you don't have, right? But like, if I ask you to give away $1 million, you can't because you don't have $1 million. If I ask you to give away a Lamborghini, you can't because you don't have a Lamborghini, unless you do, in which case I am asking you to give away your Lamborghini to me, and if you have $1 million, put that in the trunk, I'll take that too. That'd be awesome. Listen, if we're gonna share God's love with people, we can't share it if we don't have it, right? I wanna show you a few Bible verses from a book called 1 John. And 1 John is one of the books of the Bible. We're going to put all the Bible verses on the screen, as you've noticed. And if you don't own an easy-to-read translation of the Bible, we give them out for free. Love to give you one as a free gift today. So check out 1 John chapter 4, verse 19. It says, we love because he first loved us. Part of the idea of that is that we don't manufacture love to give away. We receive love to give away. And so we need to make sure that we're receiving God's love every day so we have it to give away. So we start our day with, God, how do you want to love me today? See, God's love is not just a philosophical idea. And it's not just words like, God loves you. God loves you. Oh, God loves you. It's not just words. It's a reality that you can feel. Right? Just like when my wife loves me, I can feel that. When she says, I love you, I feel that. When I'm feeling down and she hugs me, I feel her love. When she does something to serve me, I feel her love. When she talks through a problem I'm having, I feel her love. And in the same way, God's love is a reality that you can feel. And he will love you in different ways, depending on how you need to be loved at that time. So each morning you get up and you pray, God, how do you want to love me today? And you mean it, okay? You don't just, oh, I gotta say those stupid words. No, like you pray it authentically, right? Like God, share your love with me. Show me your love. Let me know it's real, God. Help me to feel it. God, love me in the way I need to be loved. God, I'm not even sure how I need to be loved today, but you know me better than I know me. So love me in the way I need to be loved today. God, how do you want to love me today? Listen, if we started every day by praying that prayer, man, that would be us inviting God, maybe for the first time for some of us, inviting God to touch us and to help us to find our identity and our fulfillment in him. And he would answer it. We would receive God's love. We'd be filled with it. And so we would have it to give away. Second part of the prayer, God, who do you want to love through me today? We just looked at 1 John 4:19. Check out the next two verses, 20 and 21. It says, whoever claims to love God, yet hates a brother or sister is a liar. For whoever does not love their brother and sister whom they have seen cannot love God whom they have not seen. And he has given us this command. Anyone who loves God must also love their brother and sister. So as I start receiving, living in God's love, I start thinking about and seeing other people the way that God sees them. I realize, man, everybody else, they're all God's kids. And he loves them, and he wants to love them through me. That's awesome, right? Well, what an honor that is. What a privilege. Like, what an opportunity. It's awesome, but it can also be overwhelming, right? But like, because, you know, some people are hard to love. Don't point at anyone right now, okay? We know who they are, right? No, don't point at anybody, but some people are hard to love. And there are a lot of people out there in the world. And I'm just one person. I don't think I can love everybody. But that's the power of the second part of this prayer. First, because it's not so much about you loving people as it is about God loving people through you. See, when you start opening yourself up, God, how do you want to love me today? And God starts pouring his love into your life, maybe because you've never even asked him for that before, he starts doing that. The natural result is that he will give you so much love, it will start to overflow out of you. It will start to overflow out of you. And so when you're loving people, it won't be so much like you're trying to love them as they're just kind of catching some of the excess. And also, it's not so much about you loving everyone as it is about you loving one person at a time. Who do you want to love through me today? One person at a time. If God were to start filling you with his love every morning, it's not that overwhelming to think that he might put one person in your path each day for you to love with his love, right? Maybe it's a coworker who's hurting and needs some encouragement, or a neighbor who needs a ride to the airport, or a friend who's having a tough time in their marriage right now, so you get together with them and you tell them about a time where God got you through some trouble. You start thinking of yourself as, okay, I am someone who receives God's love and gives it to others. That's what I am. I am a conduit. I receive God's love, I give it to others. And every day you start looking for the person who God puts in your path to love for him. Because every single day of your life, there have been people waiting for someone to love them. And every time you do this, you're gonna realize that that other person is not the only one who benefits. You'll discover, and it may be this surprise, that it's part of your healing as well. What might happen if you actually did this? If you started praying every morning, God, how do you wanna love me today? And who do you want to love through me today? I'll tell you this, if you sincerely, authentically pray that prayer each morning and honestly desire for God to fulfill it that day, I believe that your life will become an adventure. Like no more routine, monotonous, boring days. Every day will be an adventure of who is God going to give me to love. That's what happened to a guy in the Bible named Philip. You can find Philip's story in a book called Acts, A-C-T-S, and the particular story I'm going to tell you is in Acts chapter 8 if you want to read it. So what happens is Philip, I don't know if he's the kind of, if he actually prayed this prayer. In fact, this prayer isn't in the Bible, like the exact words of it, but the ideas of it are all through the Bible. But we do know enough about Philip to know he's the kind of guy who lived this kind of life, the kind of guy who was open to receiving God's love and looking for people to give God's love. And so he may not have said these exact words, but he was ready. He was looking for opportunities. So one day, you can read the story in Acts chapter 8, he's walking down a road, and this guy is going past him in a carriage. And the guy, it turns out, is traveling from Ethiopia, and the guy happens to be reading the Bible out loud. And so Philip's walking past. Philip could have just said, oh, cool, somebody's reading the Bible. But he didn't. The guy goes past, and Philip kind of does one of these, and he's like, excuse me, do you understand what you're reading? And the guy says, no, I don't. I need someone to explain it to me. And Philip's like, how you doing? And so he's like, I could do that. And so Philip jumps in the carriage with him and they go for a ride together. And from that verse, Philip starts explaining to him what he's reading and how it's all fulfilled in Jesus. And he explains Jesus coming for us and how he can have a relationship with God. And man, it started out a normal day and it all of a sudden was an amazing day. Like you talk about an adventure, you talk about a sense of purpose and mission. God loved that Ethiopian man through Philip. And he used Philip to love one person at a time. God wants to do that in your life too, every day. But like praying this prayer is you inviting God to guide you to the people who he wants to love through you. And so what might happen if you start praying this prayer is you might be at work and somewhere inside of you, you just feel this kind of like nudge of, hey, look at Bob over there. He didn't seem to be himself today. Why don't you just go over and see how he is? Or you're at home, you're watching TV, and you just, one of your friends who you haven't talked to in quite a while, just kind of bloop, pops into your mind, and you think, huh, maybe I should call him. Or you're sitting in the stands at your kid's ball game, and you feel this need to start up a conversation with another parent who you've said hi to before but never really talked to, but you just feel like, I'm going to talk to him. Any of those could be God guiding you to a moment he's been preparing you for where he wants to love someone through you. Listen, you have no idea what God has planned for you every day if you just be ready and watching for what he wants to do. A couple years ago, I met a taxi driver here in Vegas named Jeff. He was new to Vegas, had lived here for like 6-7 months, and was very honest, told me he was struggling. He was a wannabe rock star who was not making it. He was struggling with addictions. His longtime best friend had committed suicide a year before. He described himself, in fact, he used the word lost. That was his word. He said, I'm just lost. He said working his job as a cab driver was just making it worse. His shift was 5 p.m. to 5 a.m. And he said, all night I'm driving around prostitutes. I'm picking up guys from the strip club. I'm picking up wasted partiers. They're puking in my cab. He said he was miserable having to deal with all these people. I asked him, I said, do you see any path out of this for you? And he said, no, there is none. He said, my life is going in the wrong direction. And so I got his number, and we just started like meeting about once a week. And I brought my friend Mike, who often plays in our band. And I just thought, man, they're both musicians. Maybe they'll have that connection and relate to each other. And so almost all the times, Mike and I went together, and we would just talk. At one of our meetings, I told Jeff, who was very unfamiliar with the Bible and anything about God, I told him about this story that Jesus tells in the Bible about a father who has two sons, and one of the sons just rejects his dad, goes off, lives in rebellion against his dad, finally hits bottom, realizes he needs help, decides to go home, expects that his father's just going to reject him, but is surprised when his father welcomes him with open arms. And I said, Jeff, the father in that story represents God, our heavenly father, and the son in the story, that's you. And he kind of did one of these, and he said, wow, I think I've heard of that story, but I didn't know it was about me, but you're right. That's me. It is. It's me. At another point, he was talking. He said, I don't know what I need, but I know I need something because my life has caved in on me. I said, Jeff, you want to know something kind of cool? That's a story that Jesus told in the Bible. That's another story he told. He told about these two men who each build houses, and one builds on a good foundation, the other builds on a bad foundation, and storms hit, and storms always hit, and the house built on the good foundation stands strong, but the house built on the bad foundation just collapses. It caves in on the guy, just like you said. And I said, the idea is we have to choose, what am I building my life on? If I choose the wrong foundation, when things go bad, my life is going to cave in on me, what you said. And Mike spoke up and he said, listen, Jeff, I have tried to build my life on my musical ability, on my comedy, on girls, and none of it worked. Now I'm a Christian and I'm tempted to build my life on trying to help other people, which is a good thing, but it's not God. None of those things are God, and so none of those things can work. God's the good foundation. At one point, Jeff was talking about how much he hated himself. I said, Jeff, do you know that God loves you when you're at your absolute worst? And he went, oh, that's amazing, because I can't even like myself right now. There was another point, he was always complaining about his job, and I took a chance. I said, Jeff, I've been thinking about your job. I think that you have the coolest job in the entire world. And he was like, what? And I said, I'm serious. I've been thinking about it. You have all these broken, hurting people who get into your cab each night. God could love all of those people through you. Like, they all need to know that their life is worth something, that their life has meaning beyond turning tricks or going to a strip club or getting drunk and throwing up in the back of your cab. Like every day you could talk to those people and you could tell them like your life could just be this amazing adventure every night of what is God going to use me for tonight? And he went, huh? As we kind of opened up, he told us about his addictions, and Mike and I both shared about things that we weren't able to get past in life, but God, with his help, we were able to finally get past them, how God made the difference for us. At another point, he said, here's my question. How do I get over the loss that I'm experiencing with my friend dying? Like, I don't know, how can I deal with this? I don't know how to deal with this. And so Mike shared his story of pain he's been through in life and how having God, the pain still hurt, but he had peace despite his pain. And then I shared my story of pain I've been through and how God's helped me to get through it. And then I said, hey, Jeff, I want you to imagine something. Now, I want you to imagine a kid, let's say 5 years old, that they're on a swing in a park and they're swinging like really high. And all of a sudden, they go flying off the swing, go way up in the air, land on the ground, break their arm, start screaming and crying in pain. Well, mom is over sitting on a bench watching it. So she comes running over, and she picks them up, and she says, I'm so sorry that happened. I know how bad it must have hurt, but it's going to be okay. And she gets them in the car, rushes them to the hospital. Doctor puts the arm in the cast, and he says, listen, it's going to be uncomfortable for a while, buddy, but the healing has already begun, and it's going to get better. So now I want you to picture another kid, 5 years old, also swinging on another swing real high, goes flying off the swing, goes up in the air, hits the ground, screaming, crying, broken arm. But this kid is a homeless kid with no mom. There's no one there. And so there's no one to tell him it's going to be okay. There's no one to take him to the hospital. And so for this kid, like his arm is just going to stay broken and healing is not going to happen, at least not the way it's supposed to. And I looked Jeff in the eye, I said, Jeff, you're that homeless boy. That's you. You're in pain, you're crying out, but you have no one to hold you, no one to tell you it's going to be okay. You have no path to healing. But listen to what you do have, Jeff. You have a God who loves you and is calling you to come home. And if you come home, he will hold you and he will help you with your pain. And so, Jeff, the question is, will you come home? Will you come home? And he just sat there for a long time in silence. I'm like, I wonder if I offended him. And finally, he went, well, that's profound. So one of our meetings, we met on a Monday, and we were getting done about 4:30, Mike and Jeff and I. And I said, hey, I would love to give you a Bible. Would you be open to reading the Bible? He said, I'd like to start reading the Bible. Yeah, based on what you guys have told me. And I said, cool. I said, our church is like right across the street. Do you want to go over and I can give you a Bible right now? And he said, I would love to. He said, I sit in my, between 5 and 5, I have hours where I could read the Bible tonight, but I got to go, man. I'm going to be late for work. And I was like, all right, well, next time. And so he goes to work. I come to Verve. We have a Monday night service. And so there was a lady from out of town who was staying on the strip, and she got a taxi ride to our church. And after church, she called for a cab to bring her back to the strip. And I get a text from Jeff that says, OMG, how weird is this? I just got a cab call to Verve. And so Jeff shows up a few minutes later like this, like he's shocked, his eyes are big. And he says to me, he said, did you do this? I can't believe this happened that I got called. Did you do this? And I'm like, I would have no idea how to do this. And he says, listen, there are 6,000 taxis right now on the streets in Las Vegas. What are the odds that I would get called here to Verve? And I'm thinking, 6,001. That's the answer to that question. I could do the math. I didn't say that. I was like, I know. Yeah, dude. And I said, here's your Bible. And he was like, like crazy. And the whole thing was so much fun. And it was powerful. And I don't just mean for Jeff. It was powerful for me. And it was powerful for Mike. And all of it happening wasn't because of me. It wasn't like, well, you're a pastor. I met a cab driver. You can meet a cab driver, right? It wasn't because of Mike. It was because of God. It was because God answers this prayer. God, how do you want to love me today? And who do you want to love through me today? And I want to encourage you to pray this prayer and then be ready. Like, watch for how God is going to answer it, because he will put people in your path. And if you're ready, if you're watching, your life will become an adventure, and you'll have purpose, and you'll have a mission, and you will grow and heal. But you have to be ready. Like, Philip was ready, right? When God called him, he could have walked past, and the guy's reading the Bible out loud, he could have went, cool, that guy's reading the Bible. Good for you, buddy. But he didn't. He went, hey, do you understand what you're reading? And the guy said, no, I need somebody to explain it. And he was like, right? Here's the moment. And you know the next thing that happens in that story? The Ethiopian dude puts his faith in Jesus. He accepts Jesus and he gets baptized, which is the next step people take after they put their faith in Jesus. And that's what happened with Jeff, the cab driver. That one day I was doing whatever and I get this text from Jeff and the text said, sign me up. And I said, what does that mean? And Jeff put his faith in Jesus and he got baptized. And it was so cool. And God wants to use you to have that kind of thing happen in your life, to do that kind of thing in another person's life. And he will if you ask him. If you ask him, God, how do you want to love me today? And who do you want to love through me today? God will use you to share with someone else, and they need to hear it, but the surprise, the epiphany is, he will bring more healing and growth to your life. Just like Bill W. said, I don't need another drink, I need another drunk. I need to share my story. There is no healing without helping. Sharing your story will help you grow closer to God. Sharing your story of healing will help you experience more healing. It is the sixth and last rehab principle we are learning in this series. I get others connected to God. We've been getting pieces of a cube for each principle. And so if you've been here, you now have this cube to have at home and remind you of what we've learned in this series. And if you've missed it, you can watch those or listen to those services on the Verve website or the Verve app or iTunes. And if you watch or listen to them, we will give you the sides of the cube if you want them that you missed. Listen, I get others connected to God. It's part of my spiritual awakening. It's part of my journey of recovery. Like, you need to do this for you, and you need to do this for them, and you need to do this for God, because this is the one job he's given you. I mean, and I don't know if it's the perfectionist in me, and I've got some perfectionist issues, but when I see those "you had one job" pictures, they mortify me. Like I die inside looking at that sign. It's like, you saw juicy bacon and you didn't put bacon. I'm dying inside. How can you fail at the one thing you had to get right? And we don't have any more important responsibility that God has given us than getting other people connected to him for his sake, for their sake, and for our sake. They need to hear about God's love, and we need to share it. So let's make sure we get our one job right. Hey, before we go, we'll let you out of here in about 3 minutes, but let me just tell you about next week, okay? So we've been learning these six principles. And if we live by them, we finally have a path to healing, a path past our past, a path to freedom. And I think I've talked to a lot of you, you're like, and I'm like this too, let's do it. Like I'm going to live by this. This is the way I'm going to live my life from now on. And we mean it, but what about when we don't? What about if you commit to these principles and then you don't actually, you have a bad day, you have a week, a month where you don't live by it. And so you don't forgive, you don't ask to be forgiven, you don't stay connected to God, you don't own and release your past, you don't get others connected to God. What then? Like, does that just mean we failed? Does that mean, turns out, we can't really live this way? Does that mean we're never gonna truly find healing and freedom? Or does it mean something very different? Is it even possible that somehow falling down on this journey to freedom and recovery is actually in some way a good thing, a helpful thing? That's what we're going to talk about next week. I think it's going to be really helpful, because if you commit to live by these, I promise there's going to be a day where you're like, I'm not living by these. And you're going to say, what do I do now? Next week, you'll know what we do now, okay? And check this. Next week, to celebrate this journey that we've been on together for the past 6 weeks and to celebrate Memorial Day, next week after each service, we're going to have cupcakes. Cupcakes! tricks so that when your kids say to you, Mommy, Daddy, what is Memorial Day? You can explain that people from our country go to faraway lands where they fight and lay their lives down so that we can have the freedom to eat cupcakes. And we celebrate it by joining together at church and eating cupcakes. So I don't know. Sorry about that. Don't miss next week. It's going to be good. All right. But first, let's pray. And then we got an announcement for you. And then we'll let you go. Let's pray. God, thank you so much for loving us. It's like I told Jeff, you know, when we were at our worst, you still love us exactly the same. Your love for us is perfect when our lives are anything but perfect. Thank you for loving us. God, thank you that you want to love us in a way that we have excess to give away. Thank you that you have given us purpose in life and a mission in life. Instead of going through life thinking, is this really all there is? Like all my life is just showing up at work, making a few dollars, paying a few bills, and doing it all again. Really? You have given us a mission much bigger than that, a mission to be in a relationship with you and share your love with other people. And that makes life an adventure. So God, would you help us to pray this prayer, to remember to pray this prayer. God, how do you want to love me today? And who do you want to love through me today? And then to watch and be looking for the person who you put in our path that day, who we can serve, we can show compassion to, we can love in your name. And just be a part of the adventure that you have for us. And while we do it, and while we help others, and while we do that one job, we'll realize we are growing. We are healing. Thanks for loving us, God. And I pray in your name, amen.